Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Thank you so much for sticking with us for another hour. And I know why you did it. It's because I said Steve Ray is going to be here. And as promised, Steve Ray is here. And for those of you, I don't know if I need the singular. For the one of you who doesn't know who Steve Ray is, he was raised a devout Baptist, learned his Bible, came to Jesus as a Baptist, but after an in-depth study of the church fathers, he and his wife, Janet, both converted to the Catholic Church in 1997, and he's been on fire his whole life, and it produces wonderful fruits like his award-winning film series, The Footprints of God, and his lots of writing and tour guiding and all of that. Steve Ray, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you very much, Cy. I'm here. I'm kind of a new man here. I've got new titanium knees. So I'm kind of like the bionic man today.
Wow. Titanium knees. Are you a superhero now, or are you just
I'm trying.
You remain a hero?
I am to my grandkids.
Steve, that sounds like a bit much. You had both knees replaced?
Oh, yeah. Most of the time doctors won't do it, but they said I was skinny enough, young enough, healthy enough, and devoted enough, determined enough. He said, I'll go ahead and do it. But I'll tell you, the first 2 weeks, I had no idea what hit me. That was, just imagine they cut it open, they pull your knees apart, they cut them, put titanium pieces in, they move all the blood vessels, tendons, and muscles, and they slam it all back together and sew you up, and you wake up 2 hours later, and what in the world did I do to myself? But now it's 6 weeks in. I'm over the worst of it. I want to lead pilgrimages and go out and give conferences for the next 30 years. So, I had to do it. It was getting worse.
Yeah. Right. But the way that you live, you need those knees because you do not sit still.
I don't. I have for the last 6 weeks.
That's probably the worst part of it for you, sitting still.
It's been horrible. Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about Mary today.
Yes. And she didn't sit still either.
No, she did not. As a matter of fact, even when she's pregnant, she's up and moving. And one of my favorite things, I don't know why. I honestly can't tell you why, Steve Ray, but in the Rosary, the decade on the Visitation, I love it. And I couldn't even tell you why. Yeah. But we're celebrating the Visitation. That's coming up, the Feast of the Visitation. So you're here. You're going to tell us a bit about Mary and who Mary is. And let me tell people, look, if you're not Catholic and you want to know about Mary, you can call. If you're Catholic and you want to know about Mary, you can call 888-318-7884. So Steve Ray, give us the lowdown. Who's Mary?
Well, my goodness, she was, let's go right to the Visitation because there's a lot to say about her earlier, but the angel appears to her and makes an announcement, and where he met her in the cave in Nazareth, we take our groups there, that's where the words of the Rosary begin, Hail Mary, full of grace. Those are the words that are spoken at that place, and by the way, she's about 15 years old. Most everybody will agree on that, and on the altar there where the angel met her in the cave where she lived, on the altar it says, the word became flesh here. That's where the incarnation began. It didn't begin in Bethlehem. 9 months later, that's when she introduced him to the world, but he'd already been human for 9 months in her womb. What's one of the strongest pro-life arguments we have, and I don't hear it used very often, even where it says that Mary made haste and went to visit her relative Elizabeth. So let's say she took 5 days to pack her little suitcase and get her sandals and things ready to go. And then it would have been a 5-day walk. It's 100 miles she went walking. Let's say she arrived at Elizabeth 10 days after the announcement, which is reasonable. You could not have seen baby Jesus in her womb with your naked eye. You would have needed a microscope to see those little cells. And yet Elizabeth said, my mother of my Lord is here. And John the Baptist leapt in the womb because he recognized what was in Mary's womb. So you have there a very strong pro-life argument. But Mary hears this announcement that she's going to give birth to a son and he's going to sit on the throne of his father, David. Now, there's not been a king seated on the throne of Israel for 600 years. And this little 15-year-old girl gets this message and you're going to have this baby. And then it says, after all of this happens, the last line, it says, and then the angel left her. How does a 15-year-old girl process what she just heard? How does she even begin to fathom the words that that angel, and the angel left her, and he didn't come back the next day and give her an update or send her tweets or Facebook page, you know, announcements. She had to live by faith like the rest of us did. And she made haste to go visit her relative Elizabeth. Now, she couldn't have gone alone. It was dangerous to travel. Remember the guy that went from Jerusalem to Jericho and got bushwhacked and the Good Samaritan had to save him. Paul tells in 2 Corinthians how dangerous it was to travel because there was brigands and thieves along the road. I've been out running in Israel and came face to face with a hyena one time. And so she would have had to go with a caravan, or she had to go with family, but she made haste and she probably went with a group there, and it would have been a easy five-day walk. Because back in those days, Si, you read any history and archaeology, all this, people could travel on an average of 20 miles a day walking. So this is 80 to 90 miles for her, but it's not straight. It was, you know, she went into the hill country of Judea, and believe me, it's called hill country for a reason. And so it would have taken her, I think, 5 days from morning till night to get to Elizabeth's.
What an extraordinary, when you think about it, I mean, even just to think about the hyena that you saw, I mean,
I came around a corner running and there he was, right, stood looking at me. I just said to him, don't even think about it. And I went, and he ran away.
So all this comes from Luke's gospel, but how does Luke know any of this? Luke wasn't there.
Well, first of all, it comes from Luke's gospel, but it also comes from knowing the land. And a lot of the things I talked about, Luke didn't tell us that it took her 5 days, or he doesn't give us all those details. We learn a lot about Mary's life from the understanding of the land. I've been there over 200 times, so I start to get a good feel for things over there. And you learn about the land and you learn about the culture. I love to go back and learn about the day-to-day life of the people there, how they lived, what they ate. I mean, I always ask people, what do you think the Holy Family did first thing in the morning when they woke up? Everybody says, pray. I say, is that the first thing you do in the morning when you wake up? They go, well, no, we go to the bathroom. So, you know, it's just by being there and using your holy sanctified imagination. But then you get to the question, how did Luke know these things? Well, he's the only Gentile writer of the Bible. He's of the uncircumcision. So here's a Gentile who knew his Old Testament. We're going to get into this a little bit about the visitation, how the visitation is actually Luke embedding in there a whole level underneath the surface to tell you who and what Mary is, all based on the Old Testament. We hope we have time to get into that. But Luke, I think, he said, oh, Theophilus, at the beginning, he said, I've gathered together all the stories and the traditions and interviewed everybody, and I've gathered it all together and put in it for you in an orderly manner. Well, I think that Luke probably used the Gospel of Mark and he used maybe the Gospel of Matthew. I think the way he got these two chapters, though, chapter 1 and chapter 2, are not in the other Gospels. They are exclusive to Luke and they're about Mary. And I think the only way that he could have done that is probably interviewing Zechariah and Elizabeth, because they would have known about the story. John the Baptist would have known about the whole story because he was a relative also and a family member. But I think that I see Luke sitting under a palm tree or a date or a fig tree in the heat of the day in the shade with his quill saying, Mary, tell me about those days. I want to write that for Theophilus, and the people are going to need to know the story. And Luke, with his genius as a historian and a physician, he sat there with his quill scratching on the parchment as Mary very quietly told him the story. Now, when I say quietly, don't get the idea that Mary was some kind of a pushover. We sing that hymn, Gentle Woman, you know. Come on, yeah. When you go over there and you see how she lived and you understand it, you say, Jewish mother. She was a tough, if anything, Mary was a tough Jewish girl. Just look at this side. She walks 100 miles to Ein Kerem, where Elizabeth lived, and then she walked back. 9 months pregnant, 6 months there, she walks all the way to Bethlehem, which is another 100 miles pregnant. And then from there goes 250 miles to Egypt, not on a train or in an air-conditioned bus, 250 miles back with this little baby. Then she walks another 800 miles back up from Bethlehem again, back up to Nazareth. And then she lives a rustic life in a cave. So don't ever think of Mary as being gentle in a spiritual sense, but this was one tough Jewish woman.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Steve Ray is here, and we're talking about our mother, Mary. You are welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. Be right back with more with Steve Ray on Mother Mary.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
The number you want to talk about Mary, you are very welcome to call. You don't have to be Catholic to ask questions about Mary. We love talking about Mary. 888-318-7884. This might be a particular opportunity for you if you are not a Catholic, if you're one of our Protestant brothers and sisters, Steve Ray, raised a Baptist, ready to talk with you about why he came to take the position he takes on Mary, the Mother of God, and her special honored place, the honored place that's given to her in the Catholic Church. If you want to talk about it, give us a call, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. So Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and we're talking about the visitation because May 31st. Elizabeth.
Right.
And you were kind of hinting at the last, before we went to the break, and I would like you to kind of dig into it. Luke takes this story, and it's not thousands of pages, but it's loaded with meaning, just loaded with meaning. Can you tell us a little bit about what Luke does with this story?
The passage of the visitation is, I always say that for people who have eyes to see and ears to hear, and they're willing to put on scuba gear and dive into the scriptures, it's a deep, deep pond you're diving into. And if you understand what Luke is doing with the Old Testament here, and most people don't realize it, because I've asked many times, I've taken people to the site of the visitation over 150 times. And I say to them, how many of you, when you read this passage, and I'll read it, how many of you think of 2 Samuel chapter 6? And they all look at me like I'm crazy. What do you mean 2 Samuel chapter 6? I said, that's what this passage is all about. If a Jew who knew their Old Testament were to read the visitation, their eyes would go, oh, because it's all in, it's 2 Samuel chapter 6. I learned, I came from the Baptist tradition, like you said, and we never heard a sermon on Mary in any of our churches because they would be afraid that the pastor's going Mary, you know, going Catholic, talking about Mary. We heard sermons on Hannah, yeah, and Sarah, and never Mary. And Mary was kind of the set aside and forgotten character of the Bible. And for me, when I was in this conversion process, my wife and I had to wrestle with this issue. I had an open mind to it, and I realized I learned more about Mary from the Old Testament than I did from the New Testament, because the New Testament doesn't talk about Mary all that much. It talks about her in a few very significant places, like being in the room at Pentecost, and there's a whole reason she's up there. first of all, it's the birthday of the church, and the mother has to be there for the birth of the baby. So Mary's the mother of the church. But when you study the Old Testament and you realize that in the Old Testament there are things called typology or prefigurations, pictures and images of people, places, things that point forward to the New Testament, that you can't understand them without Jesus kind of as the lens. But once you have the New Testament, you look back through the lens of Christ and you go, oh my goodness, there's baptism, there's the Eucharist, there's Mary, all of the things, they're all in the Old Testament. Even don't we remember when Jesus was talking to the two men on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his partner, and it says that he explained how all of the law and the prophets referred to him. Well, if it refers to him, then we should be able to go back in the Old Testament and find out what is there about him. And also, there's all about the Eucharist there, and there's all about Mary, and all about baptism, and all about the church. All of those things are there in the Old Testament in picture and image form, prefiguring and pointing in anticipation of what's going to come in the New Testament, which was one of the reasons that scripture study can be so fun and exciting to go back and find those hidden nuggets. And there's one of them right here. Okay, so let's dive into this thing. First of all, I also ask people to set up the story of the visitation. I ask people, when Mary heard the angel say to her before she left on that journey to Elizabeth, when Mary heard the angel say to her, she said, how will this be? And the angel says, the Holy One of God will overshadow you, and that which is in you will be the holy thing of God. That's how it says it. It will be the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Well, I ask the group, how many of you think of Exodus chapter 40? And they all look at me like I'm crazy again. Exodus chapter 40, Moses builds the Ark of the Covenant in the wilderness of Sinai. It's 4 feet long, 2.5 feet tall, 2.5 feet deep. And in there was the word of God inscribed in stone. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, it tells us also in that box, that golden box with angels, cherubim angels on the cover, in that box was the word of God inscribed in stone from Mount Sinai. There was manna from the wilderness in an urn that was in there, and there was a rod, a stick that proved the priesthood of Aaron. Those three things were in there. And it says that when Moses finished building this and stepped back, it says the holy cloud of God overshadowed the ark. And what was in it? In it was the word of God inscribed in stone. And there was the glorious presence of God overshadowing the ark. Now, Mary knows those words. When she says the Holy One will overshadow you, don't think Mary didn't say, oh my goodness, that's Exodus chapter 40. I'm the Ark of the New Covenant. And when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, what was in her womb? The word of God inscribed not in stone, but in flesh. In her womb, this new Ark of the Covenant is not manna which came down from heaven, but in hers is the true bread which comes down from heaven. If you eat of it, you'll never die. And in Mary's womb is not a stick to prove the priesthood of Aaron. In Mary's womb is the priest. She's the Ark of the New Covenant, and she's going to visit Elizabeth. Now, let's jump in. Do I have time to jump into the next part? We still have time? I don't hear anything, so I'm going to go ahead. So Mary, then, she goes to visit Elizabeth, and it says she goes to the hill country of Judea. And she's there to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And we see John the Baptist dance and leap in front of the Ark of the New Covenant in front of Mary. It says that Mary stayed there for about 3 months, and that everybody there was blessed. There was a blessing was there. And eventually then Mary ends up in Jerusalem, where she brings the baby into the temple. Now, why do I say 2 Samuel chapter 6? Because in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David brings the Ark of the Covenant into the hill country of Judea. Mary goes into the hill country of Judea. Both the Ark of the Old Covenant and the Ark of the New Covenant are coming into the hill country of Judea. And it says that Mary stayed for 3 months. The Ark of the Covenant, it said, stayed for 3 months. David said, who am I that the Ark of the Lord should come to me? Elizabeth said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? John the Baptist leaps and dances in front of the ark. David leapt and danced in front of the ark of the old covenant. And it says that everybody with the ark of David was blessed. And Mary, in that short story, the word blessed is used three times. And then ultimately, David takes the ark with the word of God in it, and it deposits it and takes it to the temple. And Mary eventually goes and she takes the baby to the temple. Is all of that by chance? Are you kidding me that that's all random?
No, it's extraordinary.
John,
it's amazing that it's in such compact form, though, to tell you in such how, other than it being the word of God, could it do that, Steve? I mean, in such compact form, the whole story of who she is and who he is right there in a few lines.
And for most people, they just skip right over it and they miss the whole story. They miss the whole meaning of the thing. And that's why I think we Catholics, we got to reclaim our Bible. This is our book. We're the ones that should be the best at it and know it better than anyone else. It's our book.
888-318-7884 is the number. Your call's welcome for Steve Ray. 888-318-7884. We're talking about the Visitation of Mary because we celebrate the Visitation of Mary. Well, it's part of the Rosary, but we celebrate it yearly on May 31st. Your call's welcome, whether you celebrate in a Catholic church or you don't. 888-318-7884. I take the story, but I think that you don't take it this way, but I've always thought, well, here's Mary. She's poor. She lives in Nazareth. Her kinswoman is poor, and she lives in the hill country of Judea.
We'll get to that.
All right. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about, actually. So, because I know you take a different view.
Yes.
That this is not just a matter of a young poor woman going to help her poor kinswoman. Something else is going on when she goes to visit.
There's no reason to believe that they were poor. First of all, Elizabeth and Zechariah are 100% Aaronic priesthood. When the angel speaks to Zechariah, he's actually in the temple offering the offerings of that day. He's of the priestly tribe, and the priestly tribe were wealthy. They were rich because everybody had to bring their lambs and their money to the temple. And who were the recipients of that? The priests were. These guys. In fact, the reason that Ein Kerem is where the Visitation in the church is, it's 5 miles, 4 miles out to the west of Jerusalem. It's kind of like out in the hillside. It's kind of like a European vacation place. It is even today. Because you imagine just quickly that Jerusalem is a walled city. There's no plumbing or toilets. It's full of animals. There's no breeze, and it can be 100 degrees in the summer. Can you imagine what it would smell like in the city of Jerusalem with animals going around pooping on the streets and urinating everywhere? And I have pictures of even 100 years ago of all the animals walking through the streets of Jerusalem. Can you imagine what it would be like stifling and the odor would make your eyes water? These guys that were wealthy, they moved out. They stayed out of Jerusalem. Did Jesus too? He stayed in Galilee. He didn't stay in Jerusalem. They stayed up in the hill country where it was like a breeze and wonderful weather all the time. And they only went into Jerusalem when they had to do their services. So they're out there and they're wealthy people. And we always think that Mary went to help her relative Elizabeth, who needed help with this new baby. Are you kidding? She would have had servants. Mary didn't go there for that reason. I'm quite convinced. I think Mary went for two reasons. One is a young girl who is shown to be pregnant before she's living with her husband. That is an offense that is unbelievable back in those days. People think it's not a bad deal today, but boy, you get pregnant out of wedlock or before, you know, I'm not going to get into whether she was married or not, but she still was not living with Joseph, which it was a scandal and a problem if she was going to be pregnant. And so therefore, I think she got out of town for a while to deal with this. Also, I view it as her going on a spiritual retreat. She's going there to Jerusalem, but to visit with her relatives who are 100% Aaronic priesthood. That's like going to spend time with a saint or something. See, and I think that's why Mary went there, to kind of just to process all of this that she had just heard. And there's a tie there. And also with John the Baptist, see, he's going to be the forerunner. So I think there's a lot more going on there than we realize.
So in other words, Mary needs something out of this.
I think so.
She, she's a person. She needs.
And she doesn't know everything. See, people think that once the angel came and told her that, she knows everything. She doesn't know everything. She's just a simple girl like the rest of us. And she knows some things. She knows her Bible. She knows now that there's this thing happening with her. But even when Jesus was left, remember, they had to go find him in the temple. What did Mary say? Why have you done this to your father and I?
Yeah.
You know, why didn't she know?
Sincere question.
But why did you do this to us? You caused, we had spent 3 days, and it's one of the sorrowful things. She lost him in the temple. That's one of the seven dolorosas. So she doesn't know everything. She has to live by faith the way the rest of us do.
Steve Ray is our guest. We're talking about Mary. If you've got Marian questions, whether you're Catholic or not, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Right back with more Steve Ray. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Feast of the Visitation coming up on May 30th. That is the day that we remember Mary visiting her kinswoman, kinswoman, Elizabeth. Let me ask you about that, Steve. Steve Ray is our guest. What do you take them to be cousins, or what do you take them to be?
Well, they didn't use words like that back then.
It's
relative. You know, for example, the whole issue of Mary having other children, because it says that the brothers of our Lord. So Americans immediately said, oh, then Mary had other children. That doesn't mean that at all. Back in those days, the word brother meant relative. Abraham referred to Lot as his brother several times, and we all know that Lot was his nephew. But he says, my brother Lot, because he's family. It's like brethren. It's relative. And in Hebrew, they didn't even have a word for cousin. They did in Greek, but these guys that are writing in their minds, they're writing in Hebrew. They're thinking that way. And I have friends there in Israel now that the father lives on the first floor, son number one lives on the second floor, two, three on the third floor. They all have kids. Nobody thinks of all of those kids living in the same house as being cousins. They're all brothers. And so the whole idea is, and also there's a good idea that possibly, according to the early church and many in the Eastern church today, is that Joseph was a widower who had sons and daughters from a previous marriage, and they would have been the stepbrothers of Jesus, referred to as the brothers or the relatives of Jesus, but not sons and daughters of Mary. So,
right. Well, 888-318-7884, the number of folks on the line, but there are a few lines open if you'd like to talk with Steve Ray about Mary. Let's go to South Bend, Indiana. We'll start there. David, listening to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Thank you for the call, David. Go ahead with your question for Steve.
I always felt that the Blessed Mother went there to learn something about childbirth.
I wouldn't doubt that. You know, we don't have her telling us the reason that she went, but that's no reason why not to. But I don't think I'd go to Elizabeth to learn about childbirth, because she's having her first baby too. She's an older woman who hasn't had any children. This is a miracle baby for her in her old age. And you know, all they had midwives back in those days. And they didn't have hospitals and doctors, and a mother didn't just have a baby on her own. They had midwives, and we know that from the book of Exodus and other places, and they would call in the midwives who would help. So even if a girl didn't know how to have a child, her mother would know and be able to coach her, probably more than Elizabeth would. And they also had midwives that would come. And other people think Mary went to help Elizabeth. Well, I'm sure she did, but Elizabeth would have had servants and been wealthy. She wouldn't have had to have even the whole fact of John the Baptist being down in the wilderness. Many scholars now think, and John Bergsma is one of them, a friend of mine, that he was sent down there because they could afford it. He was sent down to the Essenes in Qumran for a special education, that they could afford to send him away to college, so to speak. So that family would have been wealthy. Why Mary went, we're not told. Whether she wanted to get out of town for a while, because showing pregnancy in the town, even today, Nazareth is 100,000 people. And my friend ordered a new red car. And by the end of the day, everybody was calling him. And I said, what is everybody calling you for? He said, they're congratulating me on my new red car. And he said, but I never even told one person I ordered it. He said, in Nazareth, everybody knows everything about everybody and they gossip and talk about it. Imagine a village of 250 people during Mary's time. And if she comes out and she's pregnant and she's not living with Joseph yet, and they didn't understand that it was going to be a virgin birth. And by the way, there was accusations of something nefarious going on there with Mary later on. But, you know, she may have wanted to get away for a while to just kind of to digest all of this and go on a retreat kind of thing. So there could be a lot of reasons, or all of them together combined. We don't know.
But we do have mixed motives. David, thanks very, very much for the call. If you have questions about Mary, you're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Let's go to Marianne in Camino, California, listening also to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. Marianne, go ahead with your question for Steve Ray.
Thank you. I love you both.
Thank you.
I have a question, but before that, I just want to say real quick, I'm going with you someday, Steve Ray. I'm going with you on your Holy Land pilgrimage. But
I would love to show you our favorite places in the world.
I'd love to be there. So you were just talking about something. I want to hit on that real quick, and then I'll ask my question. I don't, we don't know why Mary went, but remember the angel had told her their cousin or whoever, Elizabeth, was, I think in a way she got confirmation from that, right?
Sure.
By going and yeah, something like I thought maybe that prompted her. But the
let's say you're pregnant and you just found out and you have a relative that's pregnant, wouldn't you immediately? I have daughters, and when they when they have babies, they're talking together all the time about their experiences and what they're feeling, and I think Mary would be the same.
Yes, and the fact that the angel mentioned, so they kind of have something, I don't know, something that maybe is close between them, you know.
Yep.
Anyway, I always wondered why Joseph and Mary were surprised when Jesus said, don't you know I should be in my Father's house? And I had the inkling that, do you think maybe they withheld the information from Jesus, not because, Jesus would already know, because he's God, but if they hadn't said, you are this, or you were conceived this way, because there was a lot of fear surrounding his life. Do you think maybe that's why they were surprised? Because maybe they didn't say anything to them?
No. I don't think that they would have not told him that. And plus, he's God himself. He knows. And even we read in the Catechism, he knew his mission from the very beginning. He wasn't surprised at what. It's not. Some people think that he didn't realize he was God until the Holy Spirit came down in the Jordan River. That's nonsense. He knew he was God from the very beginning. And I think that Mary and Joseph would. I let me go back and say why I think they may have been surprised. How old was Jesus? He was 12 years old. How old is a Jewish boy today when he has his bar mitzvah, when he becomes an adult? He's 13 years old. So right in that age, 12, 13, a Jewish boy is no longer a boy. He becomes an adult, now obligated to obey the law of Moses on his own. In fact, the word bar mitzvah, bar means son of, mitzvah means law. So at that point, a boy, he can't say anymore, well, I go to synagogue because mom and dad make me go to synagogue. After the bar mitzvah, he now is an adult Jew. He has to say, I go to the synagogue because I'm ready to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is kind of what should happen at our confirmation. By the way, that same mentality should take place at Catholics during confirmation. But I think here, why did they even not find him? This is even the more important question. Why were they a day away before they even realized he was gone? First of all, because men and women traveled separately. They didn't travel together. Men were over here, women were over here. So they, and it's the same in many places in the Middle East today. Men and women do not in public together. There, even in churches, I've been to churches in the Middle East where all the men sit on one side and the women sit on another. Even in a Catholic church, husbands and wives, they sit on separate sides. So when they're traveling, men and women did not travel together. The women traveled together and the men traveled together. And Jesus is at the age where up until then, the little kids traveled with their moms. The older boys traveled with their dads. Jesus is in the middle. I think that they got to the first day and Mary says, where's Jesus? And Joseph said, I thought he was just you, you know? And she said, no, I thought he was with you. But he's in that middle age where he could have been with either one. So they go back and find him. And I think it's... they were surprised. They said, why did you do this to your father and I? It was like, I think they were surprised by his doing it without telling them, or they didn't realize that at that point and young point in his life that he was going to have this devotion to the temple. And that is my father's house, he said. So, but it's a good, I'm going to have to meditate on that more. As to why they were so surprised, but I hope maybe that adds a little information.
It does. I think it's a mystery.
There are many of them.
I think, I was just like, to me, I look and I'm like, duh. I wouldn't be surprised if Jesus said that, but of course, knowing where he came from.
Yep. Remember also that even though Mary and Joseph knew what the angel told them at that annunciation, the angel didn't come back every day and give them updates. They were still, it said Mary pondered these things in her heart. When she heard this from Jesus, she pondered that in her heart. She meditated on it. She tried to understand more who this boy really is. I think that you have this whole mentality that Mary also, it was a mystery to her as well. And imagine here again, she brings the little pudgy baby to the temple and she's so proud, this 15-year-old girl with her new little baby to present him. And this old wizened guy with a beard walks up and he said, and a sword will pierce your soul also. Well, Mary, she doesn't know what that means. Mary doesn't understand, I don't think, what that means, a sword to pierce her own soul, until she gets to the cross. And then she realizes what that sword piercing a soul was. So we assume that Mary knows everything. And I am quite convinced she doesn't. She's a human being and she didn't get daily updates from angels. She lived by faith, like we do.
That takes us right up to the break. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Steve Ray on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Hi, friends. Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Steve Ray is our guest. And let me see, CatholicConvert.com. Is that right?
Yep, everything's there. CatholicConvert.com is everything. Our pilgrimages, hundreds of documents. I do up a daily blog. I have my calendar on there, everything else. Can I just shout out to my my cousin Don Fernbeck, who's a great Catholic guy. He's always serving everybody, and he's listening today. I just want to say hi to him, Don Fernbeck.
Hey, Don. I'm glad we did the shout out. People should know though that you will be back in commission doing pilgrimages again. When will you start up again?
We have a pilgrimage going to Poland in August 1st. So I have to be up and going in 2 months. We still have seats there. It's the Pilgrimage of Modern Saints. It's a wonderful pilgrimage. We've done it a lot of times. And then I have four more going to Israel this year.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Visit CatholicConvert.com. Find out all about what Steve Ray is doing. CatholicConvert.com. Okay, so we're talking about Mary. You're welcome to call and get your question in, but here's what happens. People always wait till the last minute, so it's going to fill up now. So get that. Start dialing 888-318-7884. Let's go to Jose in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jose, thanks for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Steve.
Sure. So I guess more of a comment than a question. Going back onto what you guys were talking about, how Mary had went to the visit to go visit Elizabeth, right? And you know, maybe for this reason, maybe for that reason. But I just wanted to point out to the audience, and I'm sure you guys already know this too, but I don't think I heard any reflection or comment on it, but the typological event that's going on there as well, you know,
yep.
Because there is a typology there, right? And that whole King David dancing in front of the ark, and how Mary is the new ark of the new covenant, and she was carrying Jesus in her, right?
Yep. I think you're quite brilliant about that, actually. I don't think that was in Mary's mind when she went there. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit orchestrates all of these things so that the fulfillment, the prophecies and the typology are fulfilled. So I think that's a good thing to say. I don't think that Mary specifically said, well, you know, Mom, I'm going to go there to fulfill the typology. She didn't know that Elizabeth was going to dance in front of her, but in the providence of God overall, yes, I think you're correct. Good
thank
observation.
You. I just wanted to share that with everybody. Okay. Yep. Thank you. It was my first time.
Well, this is your first time calling and you won the show. You won.
Well,
you are the winner this hour. Jose, thanks. Thanks very, very much. I'm going to keep moving because as predicted, in Silverton, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Karen, glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Steve Ray.
Hi, Steve Ray. I'm a first-time caller also, and I wanted to know about the betrothal between Joseph and Mary and the time frame and how that worked with a young Jewish girl. And when did she have a chance to tell him she was expecting? Do you think she told him before she went to see her cousin? Maybe did he take her Did he take her to see her cousin? And when did they actually have their wedding and start living together? And or
that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point about whether Joseph went with her. I don't think he did, because there was a they hadn't come together yet, and I don't think that would have been proper. But there is in Bethlehem, there's a Carmelite monastery there which has stained glass, the life of Joseph, and it shows Joseph with Mary at the visitation. So I always found that interesting. But let's just first of all discuss whether Mary was married or not. The answer to that is yes and no, because in the land of the Middle East and with the Jewish people and even with the Christians today, marriage has two parts. It's not like at our wedding, you know, the wedding is you go to a wedding and you get married. Back in even today in Nazareth among the Christians, I've been there for weddings and for engagements. I know this. But see, we have an engagement. They don't do that. They have a betrothal. Betrothal is where you are legally married. You are committed, and the whole family, for example, I've been to a betrothal in Nazareth, and there was over 500 family members there, and the priest is there. It is not just a boy giving a girl a ring and saying, will you marry me? She says yes. So you go home and say, hey, mom and dad, we're getting married. No, here it's families are involved, and a betrothal is 500 or more people in Nazareth, and it's celebrated partly in the church, and the priest is there. It's like a church service aspect. And so they are married, but they're not living together yet. And that's the same thing it says with Mary, that they were betrothed, but had not come together yet. And in the parables, we see that the bridegroom comes and gets the bride and takes her. And that's what happens also, is that after they are betrothed, usually a year later, the husband gets everything together, gets a house and plan, and then he comes and takes his bride. I've been there when the groom came and took the bride from the father and the father's family. It's really quite amazing. And so I think that Mary was obviously not, she was betrothed to Joseph, so legally married in that sense, but she went there right away, after the message. And then Joseph, by the way, he was a little concerned. If you read the gospel there, it said that he found out that she was pregnant and he was going to set her away or divorce her, even though they hadn't moved in yet. That means that he was going to nullify, in a sense, that betrothal. He was having mercy on her. He didn't want to expose her, because back in ancient times in Jewish, a girl that got pregnant would be stoned to death for getting pregnant out of wedlock.
That's why
Mary, to all of a sudden become pregnant and people know that you aren't yet living, so something's not right. And in fact, in John chapter 8, if you remember this, the Pharisees are arguing with Jesus, and they said, we're the sons of Abraham. And he said, if you were the sons of Abraham, you'd do what Abraham did. And they said, we weren't born out of wedlock. We weren't born as bastard sons. And it's very much, most commentators believe they were making a slight accuse that we're not like you. You were born a bastard son. We were not born illegitimately. There's history that some of the Romans and so on accused Jesus of being a bastard son, of Mary having been impregnated somewhere else. And Joseph himself, I know I'm going to get emails criticizing me for this, but Joseph himself was apprehensive until the angel came and said, this is of the Holy Spirit. Now, if Mary had already told him, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit, then the angel wouldn't have had to come and repeat it. If he already knew that, the angel came and calmed Joseph down and said, you should take her to be your wife. This pregnancy is of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing naughty going on here, Joseph. And Joseph believed and took Mary into his home. So I hope that gives a little bit maybe of a timeline or how it works over there, different than here.
It was something that I always, you know, every Christmas, every, you know, once in a while, my sons and I would have discussions, and I'm like, you know, I'm going to have to ask that question. So I'm glad I was able to get through today.
Did I answer it okay for you?
You sure did. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Love the show. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling the first time. All right.
All right, Steve, this is Edgar here filling in for Cy. We're having a couple of audio issues at the moment, but we're going to move forward with another caller. We have Judy calling from Mobile, Alabama, listening on Archangel Radio. Judy, go right ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you so much. I've got some questions, the fourth joyful mystery, the presentation, and I think about Simeon, and I think that he had his own scriptures to go by. Maybe it's Isaiah, or maybe it's Jeremiah that says, and a virgin shall, you know, give birth. So maybe he heard some of the dust up about, oh, did you hear what's going on with some gal named Mary? She said she's a virgin.
They did obviously know Isaiah. Even today, you go to the Western Wall, these Jews there are praying, you know, the book of Isaiah and Psalms. So he would have known that.
Okay.
And he had known it's of a virgin.
Okay.
I don't know.
Somewhere in the New Testament, when it goes through the list and it was credited to his righteousness, it was credited to his righteousness, do they get around to mentioning Simeon, or did it just stay with the Old Testament believers?
I don't know that I understand. What would stay with just the Old Testament believers?
Is it Hebrews where... they give a great line of witnesses.
Yes.
Paul that was it's talking Hebrews. About, oh, it's you Hebrews. Know, this one believed and it was credited. Yeah.
That's Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the faith chapter, where they go through a list of all, where they say some were sawn in half and they, and two. But yes, Simeon's not listed in that list. But Simeon was. Yeah, he should have been. But Simeon was an old man, and he had been promised that he wouldn't die. Him and Anna, too. Anna was also there. These two old folks that were waiting for the Messiah. And I think it was Simeon who had been promised that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. He said, now I have seen it, and I rejoice. But he gives this line that just would shock any mother of a newborn baby. Jesus was only 40 days old. He's only 40 days old, because you had to take him for the presentation at 40 days. And can you imagine that? First of all, the older woman comes up and reaffirms that this is him. I'm so happy to see him. Now I can go to my rest. But Simeon says he will become a sign of a contradiction among all the people. And boy, was Jesus ever a sign of contradiction. And a sword will pierce your soul also. Up at the top of Calvary in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, there is a bust of Mary from her waist up. And she has this haunting look in her eyes. And she's right looking kind of right where the cross would have been. And she's got a big sword right into her chest. And it's really shocking. It's really something to meditate on, but I think she didn't really know what that sword piercing her soul would be until she saw her son on that cross. But anyway, good question. Thank you, Judy.
Steve, I can't believe we're coming about to the end and I didn't ask you a very basic question about the visitation. Why isn't it just called the visit? Why would we say the visitation?
Well, a visit is just where you go visit somebody, but a visitation is much more a profound thing. Like, I could come visit you, but if Edgar and I have a problem with you, it's going to be a visitation.
Oh,
we're coming. It's kind of a formal. I think that visitation means it's kind of more of a formal thing. And possibly, you know, the word isn't in scripture. It's a word that we use to describe it. And sometimes we use lofty phrases and terms to give names to maybe simple things. Mary went to visit Elizabeth, so we call it the visitation. I think it's good, though. I think it's a little more meaningful or more official than just a visit.
Right. Something's going on here.
Yeah.
There's a purpose to this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, too. I know when you, as a Bible-believing Baptist, you didn't have much time for Mary, but how would Mary have stood up in her Bible knowledge?
Oh, I think she did very well, because the Magnificat, which is part of the visitation, is a rewording of Hannah's Magnificat of the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Read that and compare it with Mary. She knew her Bible. Mary knew her Bible.
She knew her Bible.
She did.
Another reason to love Mary. Steve Ray, congratulations on the new knees and that you're going to get back out there and start the pilgrimages again. You want to know more about Steve Ray, you want to go on pilgrimage with him, go to CatholicConvert.com. Steve, thanks very much.
Thank you. Lovely being with you again, Si.
It's always nice, Steve. All right, we'll see you next time. God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.